Good morning. It is Henry Harris, and welcome to the next installment of the weekly Emunah Teleforum. It is Thursday, June 13th. It's 10 a.m. And this week's topic is understanding more about the power of listening, the power of listening for wisdom. And that in a moment, but first a brief review of the goal of this call. What is it that we do here during this call? We're exploring the mitzvah of Emunah. We're learning about a simple truth with which we can align our perception, align our understanding, and thereby fulfill a great mitzvah of Emunah, as well as the mitzvah of Lo Yelucha, not to have powers other than God. And the basic premise of it is that we're living in an experience of life that feels so compelling and so real, as if it's coming to us, as if it's being shaped and fashioned from the outside in. Our life experiences from our past seem to be kind of, they seem to be shaping our experience now. They seem to be the source or the cause of an experience in this moment, or an unfolding relationship in this moment. It could be that the actions and the words and the attitudes of people in my life seem to be shaping or causing my feelings, my experiences in this given moment. That's the way it can look. And let me tell you, speaking from my experience, it looks very compelling that's the way it works. And yet I have come to appreciate and see that, no, it does not work like that. In fact, there is something, there's only one way things are created. There's only one cause, there's only one force, and there's only one way in which that cause or force is shaping our experience. There's only one way our experience is being caused or shaped, and that is through the gift of divine energy in this moment. And that I am on the receiving end of this beautiful, wondrous experience of a divine flow, of a divine energy, that I'm not capable of managing or changing or controlling in a direct sense. I have the power to acknowledge the truth about that divine flow, that divine energy, such that if I encounter a moment in which I feel angered by a child's behavior or misbehavior, I have the possibility of acknowledging that the feeling experience I'm having, the feeling itself, can't actually come from the child's misbehavior. It can't work like that. It doesn't mean that I'm not seeing misbehavior, but the connection between the misbehavior and the upset feeling is a misunderstanding. That connection that seems so obvious, it seems so linked, it's just not so. And so in that moment, either in that moment or at a later moment, I have the power of choice to acknowledge, well, wait, what do I know is true? What do I know is true about how anything is created, including my psychological experience? This feeling of upset that I'm having in the presence of my misbehaving child, it can't come from the child. It can't come from his behavior. It can only come in this moment through the nature of divine energy, the divine flow that animates everything. And we've talked many times about the fact that the Almighty designed the world in such a way that we flow with distinctive types of energy. You know, the best metaphor for this the Torah uses is the fact that we have two hearts. V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, with both your hearts. What are the two hearts? So if we look physiologically, we see that we have a heart, we have two sides of the heart, one that pumps oxygenated blood filled with nutrients and oxygen that literally allows every cell in our body to be revitalized and energized. And then in the other direction, we have a heart that draws away the blood that has been the recipient of the waste, of the waste products of the usage of all that oxygen and nutrients. That process creates toxins, and in the blood has to deliver those toxins out of the body through the same kind of overall circulation flow. So there's really two hearts. There's one heart that's flowing with the healthy, nutritious stuff, and one heart that's flowing with the toxic stuff. And those are both part of a design that is healthy. Every human being by design is endowed with those two hearts. They're operating at all times. I'm talking to you right now. I'm not thinking about or controlling the flow of those two hearts. I'm benefiting from them. It's clear to me that I'm on the receiving end of the impact of those two hearts, so they're true. Their operation is true, and I'm not managing them. It's God. God's managing those hearts, and I'm on the receiving end of them, and I can testify to the truth of them. That's the mushel, that's the metaphor for the spiritual heart, that there's two, love God with both your hearts means God is telling us, look, I'm giving you a distinctive platforms. I'm giving you distinct flows of consciousness. One flow of consciousness is going to tend more toward a peaceful, a wide open, expansive consciousness in which you'll see the world that you're living in with a certain perspective and understanding, and you'll see challenges, you'll see misbehavior, you'll see difficulties, but you'll view them with a certain even-handedness, with a certain sense of opportunity, however it'll feel and look. And we've all had that experience before. And then there's another mode of consciousness that God has informed us we'll have, which is going to be insecure. It's going to be frightful, fearful, self-centered, short-sighted, and we'll view the world in which we live with a different eye, with a different perspective. It'll look scary. It'll look threatening. It'll look like reason to run, to hide, to fight. And those are kind of the two distinctive modes of consciousness that at all times we're flowing with. The mitzvah is not to have one flow and not the other. The mitzvah is to serve the Almighty with both, which begins with the power of understanding. Begins with the power of understanding the simple truth. This is true. Even if it doesn't yield an extraordinary immediate change in my feeling state, it's true. And there's no way that we can go wrong with the truth. There's no way. It's inherently meaningful to learn about and discuss and explore the truth, which is what this call is about. And we trust that it will register impact with us because we are designed to resonate with this simple truth. Our nature is this simple truth. We are made of this simple truth. The divine energy that flows through our consciousness is also sustaining everything. The whole of our existence, everything is this simple truth. And it's such a simple and yet profound willingness to turn in the direction of this truth, to look away from the notion of outside in. It's what makes a difference. So we can kind of rest at ease that simply the opportunity to learn about and see this and watch this unfolding in us is an extraordinary accomplishment. And there's no way it's not going to affect us. There's no way it's not going to arouse within us simplicity and in its wake psychological freedom. So that's my intro. Now, I mentioned the topic today is understanding more about the power of listening, and I'm going to share with you a beautiful experience that I've had recently and kind of just point out to me some of the implications. So there's someone who I'm working with right now who's a business person who I think I might have mentioned on a prior call who's had decades of meaningful success working with a certain company product, running his own business. Over the course of decades, tens of millions of dollars in sales. But over the last 2 years, has been in a real rut. It started and then it developed and then it got deeper and deeper to the point where there's a certain paralysis that was taking place. The person was just really demoralized and fearful and frightful and stuck. And one of the things that the person would focus on was, look, I've got all these things that I don't know how to overcome. And the list of things were his competition seemed to be way ahead of him. His cash flow was way down, so he didn't have resources to create a good website. His website was poor. He had some health issues, so he couldn't travel to conduct sales in the way that he once was able to, and he felt that doomed him. Let's see, what were the others? Those were the main ones. I can't remember. There were others as well. But suffice it to say, there was a certain paralysis that this person was experiencing, and he just wasn't making calls. He wasn't making efforts to make sales. He just was sitting kind of in his office and just, you know, eating his heart out, kind of. And what's fascinating is that when we started talking, and suffice it to say, you know, a couple of weeks later, he's not paralyzed, and in fact, he's quite enthusiastic about a game plan. He's got a plan. He's got an action plan. He does not feel paralyzed in terms of making calls. He's making calls. He's making calls on a daily basis. He's not made a sale yet, but at the same time, he's in a totally different space. And when we spoke recently, I said to him, "So, what do you understand? What happened? Like, you clearly see there's a difference in your state of mind and your experience of the business. What do you think happened?" So his first response is, "Well, you did this, right? You lifted my spirit." So my answer to that was, "No, that's not true. Let me tell you what I understood I did. And then you, at a certain point, you're going to see that you can do this on your own. Not that there isn't a value to having someone to speak to, but I'll share with you, to the best of my knowledge, what I did. And then you'll understand it, and you'll do this to a meaningful extent on your own. What did I do?" What I said to him was, "When I started to hear you speak with the fear in your voice about these various things, like you were stuck and all these circumstances were such that you couldn't move forward. So when I heard you say those things, I wasn't particularly concerned. And it did not look like a really good idea for me to try and persuade you that I didn't think those were concerns, but I didn't feel that the goal and that what would be helpful would be to try and point out to you why they're not concerns. That wasn't my goal. My goal was I could see what was most striking to me about your description of your problems wasn't the problems, it was your state of mind. Like, I could see that you were in a highly discouraged and frightful state of mind. And I also knew that you don't live in that state of mind. Like, I know that you're not always there. It just happens to be that you go there at times, and when you go there, it kind of becomes something that you tune into in a very strong way, and it becomes like selective data to you, like, oh, wow, I really am in a low state, and I'm really, really stuck because, look, the evidence is there's these things, these circumstances to point to, and I'm certainly stuck. It must be that it's really true. These things are making me stuck." I could see, this is what I was saying to him, that you're speaking and acting like a person in a low mood, and that you don't always feel that way. And so we started to talk about that. But the first thing was is that I was speaking to you with a lack of fear about the things you were fearful for. And I was really looking for the wisdom that you possess. Not the wisdom that you possess in the sense that you are smart and you've got life experience that you could draw on as data points and success in business. I wasn't looking for that wisdom. I was looking for wisdom in the way that you replenish, your spirit replenishes, that you reset. You do reset. You have a reset that happens that you don't feel this way at all times. So we started talking about that. This is what I'm sharing with him. We started talking about, like, well, do you always feel this way? Are your concerns about these fears kind of uniform, static, or do there are times where you feel them really acutely and at times where you're less acute? And so, you know, and he recalled, that's when you recalled that you didn't always feel like that. And what I saw in him was a person, it was curious to me, like, decades of success, tens of millions of dollars of sales, it was clear to me that this person had tapped into something of value. You don't succeed over the course of decades in the way that he had he not tapped into something authentic and meaningful. And what I was hearing as I was listening to him was an extraordinary commitment to service. Like, this is a person who is really interested in doing right by others. Like, yeah, he wants to make a paycheck, he wants to earn a living, but it was like, what's the word? It was totally anathema to him, the idea of selling something that wasn't really going to help people. He really was interested in helping people. And he had strong customer relationships over the decades that people really felt that he serviced him, that his product was amazing, that he was providing great service. And that's, I kind of started to look at that and point that out. Like, you know, you really care about people. Like, you wouldn't go anywhere near a product that you didn't feel was great. And he's like, 100%, I would never do that. That's, I couldn't bear to sell something. And I just started to notice that there's a wisdom there. There's a deep-seated desire for good that's not a conscious kind of technique that he applies. There's a deep-seated reservoir of goodwill, which is itself a form of wisdom. It's a form of divine wisdom. And I started to just notice, like, you're really out to help people. And then he started to notice, you know, it's interesting that you point that out, because I get into my typical conversations with customers are, I start talking to them about the product, or the, you know, they have their questions, and then they used to always joke with me that they'd stay on the phone for like a half an hour telling me all about their lives. And it was funny, this person said, like, people really opened up to me and talked to me. And I was like, see, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of wisdom in you that has kind of carried you through your career, that you're fundamentally interested in being of service to people. You've developed and you cultivated a product that was about service, and people love your product. There's no way that you can go wrong with it. And then his mood started to lift. His mood started to kind of taste and feel the wisdom that he's so connected to, that's bigger than him, and that shows up over, has shown up over the course of his life and business, that really has accounted for his success. And so my point to this gentleman was, look, I just want you to understand, what I feel I did for you was simply not to be discouraged or taken in by your low mood. I was able to see you and the points that you were making. This is my problem, this is my problem, this is my problem. I just wasn't fooled by that. And I didn't really try to convince you otherwise. I just kind of went about sharing with you something from what I saw and what I saw about you, that you have wisdom, that you have goodness, that you're a person who's committed to truly being of help. So, and that's what, so my understanding about your mood allowed me not to get drawn into your mood. And then I kind of, you know, was tuning into your wisdom. And at a certain point, you tuned into the wisdom. You were free to leave the evidence of your stuckness kind of on the side. And then lo and behold, as you were willing to look away for a moment from the evidence of your being stuck, you replenished, you reset, you had a reconnection with something that's truly part of your life. And you can do that for yourself. Like, you can, I know something about moods. That's really what I have going for me in this conversation, is that I know something about the human experience, that we get into moods, and we come to associate we come to think that it's the world out there and its circumstances that are shaping our moods, and then we get this stuck, discouraged feeling. But I just know something about that, and you can also know something about that. You know, you can see something about your own moods and kind of, you know, ride those waves. And that was interesting for this guy. You know, that was interesting for him. I mean, it's undeniable that his state of mind has shifted dramatically from being completely paralyzed and being totally unable to make calls to, I have a game plan, I have a business, I have a model, I have a, you know, and I'm motivated, I'm making calls, and I'm having conversations. And I'm really not going to be surprised when he makes his first and second and third and fifth and tenth sale. I'm just not going to be surprised, because it's just normal that when you have a deep desire to be of help to others, you have a good product, and you have a willingness to share it because you think it's going to be helpful, it's just a matter of time before you're going to see and find opportunity. So that's what I wanted to share about is, you know, learning more about the power of listening. You know, the power of listening is in kind of listening with an understanding about the human experience, listening with an appreciation for the phenomenon of human moods and states of mind, the awareness that not only do I see that a person can reside in a certain state of mind and not notice, that it's not a problem for him or for me. It's really not a problem. Like, I can be with them in their state of mind. Now, this is something that, you know, I've known this about people who are close to me for some time, and I wasn't always able to feel I felt affected. Like I would, okay, I would see somebody struggling in my circle of, you know, loved ones, and I would know something, okay, they're having a, you know, they're feeling their state of mind right now, and they don't notice that. And I would still feel agitated about it. What can I say except to say that we are also subject to states of mind? You know, it really can look and feel, despite our knowledge of the inside-out truth of human experience, despite our knowledge of the true inside-out truth, inside-out understanding is not something that you can, it's not something that you just grasp intellectually. It's also something that you see in this moment. So if I'm looking at a loved one who's struggling, and I know intellectually they're experiencing a misunderstanding, but I myself feel annoyed or upset about their mood, it's simply an indication that I myself am residing in a state of mind. What can I do about it? You know, I can acknowledge the truth about it. I can acknowledge the truth about their state of mind, and I can acknowledge the truth about my state of mind. And as we've said on many occasions, understanding the truth doesn't allow me to flip the switch on my feeling state, but it's an extraordinarily meaningful thing. It's a tremendous mitzvah to know and acknowledge the truth about my state of mind. And that in of itself is worthwhile. And then, of course, we will experience growth. We will experience shift and grow in greater understanding by tuning into this truth, you know, becoming a truth seeker rather than a feeling seeker. That's the orientation that I see. So that's what I wanted to share today. There's not a whole lot of folks on the call, so I don't know if we have any comments or questions, or if this is going to be more of a recording week. If you're out there and you want to offer a thought or a comment or a question, I'd be delighted to hear. So we'll take a moment to pause and see what there is. Okay, well, I want to wish everyone a beautiful week and a good Shabbos. And God willing, I'll see you back here next Thursday.